At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? You are back with District Baseball. We are just days away from opening day. And coming off our last episode, which was my favorite episode every single year, it is like my 1B favorite episode that we do every single year. It's our national season preview. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. We're going to talk positions. We're going to talk breakouts. We're going to talk records. We're going to give our bold predictions. It's going to be a fantastic episode on kind of our district nationals show kind of hybrid thing that we do. So I cannot wait as the season is upon us. But be sure to follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB and TikTok at DistrictBaseball. And if you're watching on YouTube, we sincerely appreciate it. And if you're not, be sure to check us out on YouTube, as well as my guy Trey has everything for you on YouTube in a nice, pleasant viewing situation. Trey, what's going on?
Nick, I am just super excited for the season to get rolling here. We had the Nationals prospect game today. The big league squad took on some prospects. Didn't go so well for the prospects, but it's all about the fun of that event. Kind of building more hype for the prospects coming up. That
probably fantastic idea. Fantastic idea.
Yeah, by the Mets. Idea great. Execution. The team destroyed the prospects, and also the prospects got super unlucky while the major league team got pretty lucky. So I feel like that's kind of a thing right
now.
If
they do it again next year, I would almost prefer like an inner squad, right? Like let's mix up the teams.
Yeah. Because it might be like they might already be mixed up if we have some of these guys coming up.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But like also just to kind of fix the parity a little bit.
Yeah. That's true.
Granted, it would have been such a breaking news if the prospects had come out and pulled out the dub.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
And it's like Rutledge was on the mound and Rutledge didn't do like great, but at least he was a semi MLB pitcher. It's not like they had some double A arm making his first start against MLBers or anything like that.
Yeah. I will say they kind of just left him out to die though. They just kept him pick. I know they're trying to get to a pitch count.
Right. But this is such a like a deeper conversation that we will inevitably get to at some point during the year, but the Nationals farm system severely lacks arms. They're genuinely, and again, conversation for another time. I don't want to, you know, dampen the mood on what is going to be a great episode, but like, I personally don't think there's one good arm in the national system. Like, all right, that might be a little harsh. Like one, like top arm, you know, everyone points to Cade Cavalli. He's coming off Tommy John and I wasn't too high on him to begin with. I like DJ Hurst, but he still might be like a more of a reliever type than a starter.
Yeah. There's definitely not a number one, like definitive best pitcher in this system right now.
That's what I mean. Like it's not like the farm system as a whole. Once you get past like the Cruz, the Woods, the Hassels, the Houses, like it drops off. There's not even a drop off with the pitchers because there's nothing to start with. Like that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yep.
So poor Rutledge. Yeah. Pitch count, but a little bit of a rough path to get to that pitch count.
Yeah.
But great idea. I love that they were actually at the forefront of one of these ideas for once, as opposed to behind the curve.
Yeah.
That being said, $20 for like a beer and $8 for hot dogs. Yeah.
The prices came out. I mean,
you can miss
Twitter me. Twitter was having a field day with that yesterday.
Miss me with that. Bring $7 your own Dasani. Food into the ballpark. Yeah. Bring your own food into the ballpark. It's allowed.
Yeah.
It just has, I think it has to be wrapped in Saran wrap if it's like actual food. So you can like see through it or like a plastic baggie. That's fine too.
Bring your own food into the ballpark. I can't wait for so many people to do that they make it not allowed anymore.
Oh, that's definitely next.
Yeah.
So you know,
prepare for that.
This. Yeah. All right. Let's dive into this. We'll get into
enough tangent.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about kind of the roster preview, projections, starters, all that stuff. We'll, similar to our division previews that we did last week and over the last couple weeks, we'll kind of highlight one guy in each group that we want to go in a little bit more depth upon. But before we do that, the Nationals did effectively finalize their 26-man roster. They could definitely still switch out some like bullpen arms, for instance. But as far as the position players and starting pitchers, we kind of know already who it's going to be. The last decision for the Nationals that they had to make was kind of to trade Lipscomb or to not trade Lipscomb. And ultimately they decided not to trade Lipscomb. And I don't think that's necessarily an indictment or a reflection on Trey Lipscomb. I think it was just, he was the only one with an option, with a minor league option. So they took the kind of easier route as opposed to cutting Luis Garcia, for instance, or trying to find a trade partner, or offering Nassim Nunez back to the Marlins when they didn't really want to do that. We talked about how that might have been off air, but how Mike Rizzo really wouldn't want to swallow his pride after he just took Nassim Nunez in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, Senzel and all this stuff. So I think it was just the path of least resistance. I would expect Trey Lipscomb to be in AAA. I don't know if it was announced what level he was going to yet, but I would imagine him.
I think it was. I think it AAA. Was AAA.
Okay, cool. And it sounds like James Wood's going to be in AAA as well.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, those are by far, in a way, the two best prospects in spring training. They kind of earn their way into Rochester, in my opinion, and are certainly knocking on the door. So let's get into the infield. We'll start there. So no Trey Lipscomb. So if you go around the diamond, first base, and we're going to include designated hitter in this as well in the positions. So first base, you have Joey Gallo and Joey Meneses. Presumably you could have Riley Adams there. It doesn't seem like they're going to, because Drew Melas was assigned to minor league camp as well. So that just kind of relegates almost Adams to that backup catcher role, which is fine. Like, he performed well in there last year, but his bat was tantalizing enough that I wish we would see a little bit more.
Try to take advantage of that, but yeah,
it is what it is. Second base, Luis Garcia Jr. is still somehow hanging on by a thread, even though everyone kind of knows what's going on. Nassim Nunez will be the backup to him and CJ Abrams, who's obviously the incumbent and hopefully long-term shortstop. If, you know, we'll talk extensions when the time comes, but we're all expecting a breakout year for CJ. And then third base, Nick Senzel and Ildemaro Vargas can fill in kind of anywhere, but presumably he's going to be the backup at third base as well. If CJ or Luis Garcia needs a day off, I would imagine it's probably going to be Nassim Nunez first, but it very well could be Ildemaro Vargas. So what do you think of the infield, and who do you want to talk about?
Well, I think that this is probably the weakest position group, maybe besides starting pitching overall, just because
great.
Third base is a black hole.
Yeah.
Second base is a huge question mark. First base is still kind of a question mark. I mean, it's more established there than the others. And the only place that's really, you know, fully established is shortstop and catcher, obviously, with Ruiz on a contract. So I'll talk about CJ Abrams because he's the obvious best choice here in terms of best player to talk about, because he has the potential to be an all-star this year. He has the potential to finish a top 10 MVP if everything goes right. He has all the tools. He has all the ability. Now it's just about putting it all together. And his ability to be a power speed threat is almost unmatched in this league, especially in terms of speed, because of the way that he can steal bases so efficiently. Nick, I know that you think that he might lead the league in stolen bases, which I think is a good take. And I'm expecting him to be very aggressive this year, leading off to start the season as opposed to later in the second half, like he did last year. So a full season with CJ at the top of that order sounds like a fun time to me.
Yeah, the training wheels are off in some respects with CJ. Davey Martinez has this very antiquated way of thinking, like how the young guys need to earn their stripes. And to an extent, that's true. But like, if a guy shows he's ready, like, let him go, you know? So I'm hoping we get that from the jump, right? Because we saw what kind of that breakout would potentially look at, like, over the course of a full season. And he did it for the better part of half a season. So now it's just hitting the ground running, getting off to a good start for CJ. The guy I want to talk about is Nick Senzel, not because I necessarily want to talk about him, but I think he's on the thinnest ice. And that even includes Luis Garcia. I think Luis Garcia, they're very – Luis Garcia has a ton of potential. I don't think anyone's disputing that. It's just his attitude, or – I don't think it's a character
inconsistency
issue.
Inconsistency, mostly, yeah, I would
like,
say.
So it's like – it almost seems like they're waiting for Luis to mature. And if that happens, they're going to like expect the results to follow. Whereas Senzel, like, there's not necessarily attitude or character issues or anything like that. But if he doesn't perform, there's 3 to 4 guys who can instantly take his spot. And obviously Trey Lipscomb's the one we talked about. Trey Lipscomb's a natural third baseman, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be almost an easier solution than, you know, putting Lipscomb at second base, which I think he would be fine with, like, positionally and defensively, I mean. But everyone's on a 1-year deal, so like, you kind of throw that out the window. But like, Joey Gallo, if all goes white, fetches a return. If all goes right, Jesus, if all goes right, fetches a return. If Eddie Rosario all goes right, he fetches a return. If Nick Senzel all goes right, I don't know how big of a return you're getting. Like, hit that. Yeah, number 2 overall pick a couple of years ago. He certainly could just randomly break out. I don't think anyone's necessarily predicting that. So, like, even if he's average, I don't think he's going to get a return. So, therefore, if he's well below average, I think he's the easiest to move on from, is kind of my point, especially with how I think they really wanted Lipscomb on the team, without any, you know, hearing that directly from anyone within the organization. I think they really wanted Lipscomb on the team. So if there's an opportunity to get him on the team, I think they will take it. So I only talk about Senzel because he's going to be the one to watch. If he gets off to a slow start, how long is that leash? I'm sure we'll see a lot more Ildemar Vargas. I would say Vargas is probably even safer. They're both Senzel and Vargas are utility men, but Vargas has kind of excelled in that role.
Vargas is a better defender.
Right, that too. And Senzel's a newcomer. So we'll see how long that leash is, but that's the position to watch. I know everyone's focused on second base and rightfully so, but I think that third base is going to be the first position to potentially have like a turnover at that position, as opposed to anywhere else in the diamond. All right. Well, we didn't touch on catchers. That's kind of just set in stone. Kevin Ruiz, Riley Adams.
Yeah.
They both need to be better defensively. They're both solid and showed good signs offensively. Kbert, his was definitely more second half, and Riley Adams was strong basically up until he broke his hamate bone. Mm-hmm. Both great offensively. They need to be so much better defensively. That's going to be the thing to watch with them. All right, let's move on to the outfield. I'm going to stick with the guy I just mentioned, but we'll talk about the outfielders in general. Left field, I think they're going
Jesse
Winker.
Revolving door of people, potentially. But yeah, I think Winker at first.
Yeah, which is baffling because Winker earned his spot on the team. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But he's a terrible defender. Yeah. Putting him in the outfield when you have a DH spot is terrible.
They might rotate him.
Yeah.
If they were smart, they would rotate him. They would make him play left field like as little as possible. Rotate him in the DH as much as possible, but I could see him splitting, you know, 50-50 kind of, and especially if Garrett comes back healthy soon, then you have a little platoon option there. So I'm curious as to how they'll manage that, but yeah, I think he's going to be starting in left field at first.
Yeah, so we'll see. Winker's worse than Meneses in the outfield, just to give you kind of a frame of reference.
Yeah, and he was bad.
He was very bad. Center field, Victor Robles still exists. They optioned both Alex Call and Jacob Young to AAA. So the sort of backup slash platoon, Jesus, Eddie Rosario, even though he's he's a fine left fielder, a well below average center fielder. And it's kind of odd for the Nationals to try to make that a thing, considering how much they've historically valued plus defense in center field. That's just kind of an odd decision, odd roster construction, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. In the right field, that's obviously Lane Thomas. Stone Garrett, presumably going to start the definitely going to start the year on the injured list. It's just a matter of, is it the 10-day? Is it the 60-day to clear the 40-man spot? But he'll be back at some point, and presumably in that similar role he was last year, crushing lefties and whatnot. And Vargas, Gallo, I guess you could throw Meneses, they could all play outfield. But there's a lot of bodies in the outfield, so I don't know how much all of them will be playing. So I'm, like I was saying, I'm going to talk about Eddie Rosario just because this was a – 11th hour signing. I like the signing. I have no problem with the signing. It just doesn't make sense with the other subsequent moves you made.
Yeah, it's right? Weird. It's just weird, but it's like not bad, but it's weird.
Right. Yeah, it was just like, I have no problem with it in a vacuum, but like looking at the roster construction, it was just odds. But mm-hmm. Now that it's happened, he's on the team. He went deep today off Rutledge. I'm hoping it works out. This is a guy who performed exceptionally well in the Braves playoff run. I'm just stumbling over my words today. A couple years ago, he has, the potential to fetch you a good return, like I mentioned. So I'm rooting for him in some respect. We'll see how consistent he can be, if it just flashes, if there's a reason he only was able to get a minor league deal. It's always a red flag to me. I think I mentioned this before, when the Nationals offer you a minor league deal, because that tells me 30 teams wouldn't give you a major league deal.
Yeah, they gave Nick Senzel a major league deal.
Right,
so.
And 25 other teams wouldn't give you a minor league deal. Granted, it very well could just be the agent playing the odds. Like, if a team has an absolutely stacked outfield, like there wouldn't be a path forward in the Nationals. They have a lot of bodies, but, there might be a path to playing time. Obviously, he's on the opening day roster, so... but that's just like my own line of thinking. There's a reason he got a minor league deal and couldn't fetch a major league deal. So definitely one to watch. I'm cautiously optimistic on Eddie Rosario.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, it was weird because of the roster construction, not necessarily a bad signing though. And he's definitely mm-hmm. the most likely to get a trade return, I think. You throw
outside
Gallo
of Lane
in there.
Thomas.
Well, yeah, but yeah, of the guys I don't that think they're were signed, trade. Of the guys yeah. that were signed this offseason, Gallo maybe if he has if he goes crazy with some homers.
Hold on, we have breaking news.
Oh, really?
Jordan Montgomery is signing with the Diamondbacks.
Oh, whoa!
Wow!
I think Torey Lovello is happy because they came to his division, but it's actually his team now.
I actually love that move.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they basically
Gallen,
smashed the Giants.
Kelly, Erod, Montgomery, and then Fat. I mean, we're talking about one of the best rotations in baseball.
Mm.
I don't think that's a stretch.
I was just thinking about our predictions now, how that changes things. I don't think it necessarily does for us.
Oh, I'm all in on the Diamondbacks.
Maybe
now.
For the playoffs.
I love it when teams go all in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, damn. Let's redo our season predictions episode.
What was the no, please no. Don't make me edit that. What was the deal? Was it 1 year?
Opt-out terms have not been disclosed, but Passan broke it, so
yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that's cool. Not Nats, but that's something yeah. that just happened while we're sitting here.
Cool. I love when we get breaking news while we're live recording. So much stuff always happens immediately after we're done recording. It's nice
yeah,
to
thank,
win one.
Yeah,
it's nice to
real.
Win one for a change.
We got a W.
Yeah. Anyways, you were talking about JC Winker. So you're going to talk
Oh,
about...
yeah. I was talking about Rosario, but yeah, I was going to talk about Winker as my outfielder to discuss. We already mentioned his defense is not particularly good. I could see them... Right. He's going to end up DHing some as well, hopefully more, but to be a DH, especially a full-time DH, you gotta hit. And he did that in spring training. There's some concern that he wasn't, high on the exit velos and the BABIP was high and there's a lot of singles and stuff like that. And I think those are valid concerns because One thing that he's had issues with the last few years is his power, and he's had some back issues that have kind of maybe sapped some of that power. I do, however, really like how he's taking his plate appearances. He's really working the count a lot, and I think the Nats need to do that because they're not going to have many opportunities to drive in runs from power hitting. You know, it's going to be a lot of singles that drive in runs like it was last year. So the more base runners you have on base, the more likely a single is to bring one of them in. So I like that he's an on-base centered guy. Joey Gallo is an on-base centered guy. I would like Ruiz to be an on-base centered guy next. And then, you know, maybe we can have enough people on base to drive in some runs. But it's going to be tough sledding for this offense in total. But hopefully Winker can provide something. If he could just fake it for a couple months and get us a trade return for like a young pitcher, then that's a W because he's on a minor league deal. We'll just have to see. I mean, I'm not expecting him to do as well as he did in spring training, but if he can be just slightly above average, that might be good enough.
The bar is the floor with this
the bar team. Is the floor for sure. So
And like we've talked about it, but like these are the types of deals the Nationals need to hit on at a higher clip than they have been, right? You just need, as soon as you get that one guy who performs above expectations, flip him, trade him, right? They did it with Candelario. That was a big win, but like they're not doing it to the extent they could be doing, and they need to do more of it. They really need to boost this farm system. So hopefully Winker performs well, flip him, and then, you know, get another DJ Hurst. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Just to tie a bow in the Montgomery thing, 1 year, $25 million with the second year vesting option. If he starts 10 games, he gets another $25 million, which I think he will. So basically 2 years, $50 million for Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah. Okay. That's a smart deal. That's a smart deal for
But like, I mean, he wanted Aaron Nola money, which is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not. I mean, for the Diamondbacks, it's smart.
The league has successfully frozen out Scott Boras.
Snell, it makes more sense, but Montgomery is not as dominant and isn't as likely to command another big deal.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see on that. I mean, at least the saga is finally over and we can get on with the frickin' season.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get on with the Nationals preview. We're going to move on to the pitchers now. Starting rotation, basically the same as last year. The order to start will be a little bit different, but I think that also has to do with the fact that the Nationals are starting on the road. So right now you have Josiah Gray in the one spot, Patrick Corbin bumped down to the two spot. He could be bumped off the roster for all I care. Jake Irvin's in the three spot. He started spring training really rough and finished red hot. So he's a guy to watch. Mackenzie Gore is the four spot, but that's going to be the home opener. So I think they're just trying
They wanted him to be the guy.
Yeah, right. So I get why they're doing it. Yeah, I'm all for that. And then Trevor Williams, somehow, black magic, staying on the roster. He will be the five starter. But David Martinez was on Grant and Danny today, basically saying there's a lot of off days early in the year, so they might not necessarily use all five.
Yeah,
because there's going to be built-in off days, so they might just stick to four. I don't think Davey intentionally phrased it this way, but it was pretty funny to hear him say. He was like, oh yeah, well, we're trying to win games, so we're gonna figure out how we need to use Trevor. Like, that, I'm not kidding, that's how he said
but he did not mean it to be that blunt, but I wish that he was more often, because that's true. It's just a fact. The dude was
everyone
awful.
Knows it, so it's like it's good to know that Davey. Again, I don't think he meant it that way, but it was still pretty funny to hear him say it. Yeah, yeah. And then the bullpen, you have some combination of Matt Barnes, Kyle Finnegan, Dylan Floro, Robert Garcia, Hunter Harvey, Derek Law, Tanner Rainey, Jordan Weems is most likely what we're going to see. Mason Thompson, my boy, unfortunately, dealing with another Tommy John injury, Thad Ward in the minors, Jackson Rutledge in the minors, DJ Hurst in the minors, and then Jose Ferrer is on the 60-day IL as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with the guy the aforementioned home opener
starter, baby. Yeah.
Mackenzie Gore, I'm not going to say anything here that people haven't already been thinking, but this is a big year for Mackenzie Gore and the Nationals too, obviously, in terms of figuring out what they have. Josiah Gray, I love Josiah Gray, like truly probably my favorite player on this current team. But I think everyone's kind of in agreement that like his ceiling's kind of a three starter, which is fine, perfectly fine, incredibly valuable in this league. Mackenzie Gore, however, has that true ace Cy Young potential, right? And I'm not saying he has to get there this year. Certainly not. He's young. He has time to develop. But getting more consistent and getting on that track, taking the next step forward, and especially if it's a big step forward, the way Gray went from 22 to 23, that's what I'm looking for. That's what this team needs. This team historically has always been built on incredibly strong top five in baseball pitching staffs. And they're certainly not that right now. But if Mackenzie Gore can cement himself as at least one of those guys, and Josiah Gray is well on his way to cementing himself as a mainstay in the rotation, whether it's top three, top five, whatever, then it makes it a little bit more conceivable. Granted, the learner is still on the team. It makes it a little bit more conceivable to go add another frontline starting rotation guy next year, right? Whether it's a Max Fried or I don't remember who else is going to be available, Blake Snell, whoever.
Potentially.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more conceivable. Like, hey, we already have one. Let's go get another. And then all of a sudden, you know, with Gray, like that's more than half of a rotation, like settled, right? And then you get the Patrick Corbin money coming off the books and whatnot. Again, it doesn't have to happen all this year, but we really need Mackenzie Gore to kind of quell some of the doubt, right? Quell some of the inconsistencies and really take that next step forward. And if he does that, I think we're set up really well. Cause again, I'm very high on Gray, you know, with a dose of realism, but I'm very high on Gore as well. So I'm just hoping he takes another big step forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious. He's got all the skills necessary. It's just putting it all together for a full season. Mm-hmm. And especially he needs to definitely up his innings. He had a lot of starts last year where he got
short,
just, he was throwing 30 pitches an inning. I mean, you can't get away with that. And honestly, he's done a lot, it looks like, to simplify his mechanics over the offseason. He's a lot calmer on his delivery than he was previously. And I think it's so far, and at least in spring, it helped his command. He didn't walk nearly as many batters. That's going to be
he's living up in the zone with his fastball, which is what we've been begging forever now.
Yeah, so if he can stay consistent with his location, the stuff is disgusting. I think his slider has gotten better, I feel like, at least the way it looks so far in spring. So, just location with him. I'll be quick because this is kind of a low-key choice here to talk about, but I'm going with Mr. Derek Law. I need to stop saying Mr. before I talk about my guys. I noticed I was doing that the other day, and I was like, stop it. But okay, so Derek Law was a minor league signing, and I was surprised that he didn't have any MLB. I mean, he hasn't been great, but he's been like a guy that has been reliable with a solid run prevention, and he can throw multiple innings. He's got solid stuff, and he had an amazing spring in West Palm and made the roster. And I think that he's a great middle of that bullpen guy, you know, sixth, seventh inning, maybe a multi-inning guy that can go out and you know, kind of, as when you have a start where that doesn't go as well, he can kind of be the buffer in the middle of that start to get you to your setup men and your closer. So I think that he's going to be a little bit more important than people might think to this bullpen.
It's nice to have depth, nice to have options.
Damn right, especially in the bullpen, because that was our big deal last year.
Yeah, and we keep saying it, but it's just hilarious that the best Nationals bullpen happens during a rebuild instead of when we're actually trying to compete. But it's nice to have options. Obviously, injuries creep up. We are already dealing with some injuries with Ferrer and Thompson, and you know, Brixey, he hasn't made his debut yet, but he's coming off an injury.
Yeah, they're being very slow with him.
Certainly nice to have options. All right, we're going to talk about the prospects here. So we're also going to skip over the obvious ones: Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Brady House, Cade Cavalli. We all expect them to kind of be up with the Nationals, if not this year, early next year, right? So we're not really, you know, saying anything anyone doesn't already know. So we're going to try to dig a little deeper, see if there's another Jacob Young, right? A guy that can contribute in an unexpected capacity this year, or, you know, in the future, near future. So I'm going to kick it off with Yo-Yo Morales, Yoandy Morales. This was the second round draft pick last year, mm-hmm. after Dylan Cruz, out of the University of Miami. And he was touted as having 40 home run potential. And if you look at some of his clip highlights from his playing time with the Hurricanes, you can see why. Dude just mashes. But then he goes to, I believe he started out with Fredericksburg, low A Fredericksburg, and the dude was raking, but he wasn't hitting home runs. He didn't have a single home run, but his OPS was still over 1,000. So it's like, it's almost impressive that he was able to sustain such high production without his kind of best weapon, it being the long ball. Then earns a promotion to Harrisburg, and that's presumably where he's going to start this year. So all that being said, obviously his bat is the key thing. He's a solid third baseman. I don't think he's better defensively than House or Lipscomb. Certainly not Lipscomb, but I don't think he's going to beat out House for third base. But the Nationals basically officially moved him to first base this year, which has kind of been the talk within drafts and farm system and potential trades. It's like, we don't have a first baseman of the future in the farm system. Like, there's no risk of blocking anyone at the major league level at first base, because we don't have anyone in the minor leagues who can play first base. So they're officially switching Morales to first base, which I like. I think he can play there. He's a 6'4 frame, big dude, athletic, can move. Not that you need like a super crazy athlete to play first base, but it's nice to have one regardless. So it'll be interesting to see how he takes to playing first base. Presumably he's going to play plenty more of that in the minor leagues as he develops. And if that power comes back, this is a guy who could skip AAA, in my opinion. If he proves that he can play first base and he can mash, right? And let's say Gallo gets traded or cut, Meneses doesn't perform, and he's already not the best first baseman, all of a sudden there's a massive hole there. I don't think they want to go down the kind of Travis Blankenhorn route where it's just like, hey, a guy's raking at AAA, let's give him a shot. But AAA pitching is way worse than I think people realize. So I think Morales is one to watch as a guy who could rise quickly through the ranks.
Yeah, I mean, I love the decision to move him to first base because of, you know, House is the guy. They've basically said, Brady, you are going to play third base for this team.
Yep.
So you might as well mm-hmm. move some other guys around. They did it with TJ White as well, who had he struggled last year. Last year, mm-hmm. he had a homer in that Futures game, though. That was pretty interesting. Off of our favorite Mr. Trevor Williams. Mm-hmm. So I just did it again, whatever. So yeah, I love that pick, Yo-Yo.
Mr. Trevor Williams.
He doesn't deserve it. I'll talk about a pitcher, because we were saying that there's basically no pitching in this farm system, and that's, you know, pretty much true, but there are a couple guys that are at least intriguing. I'll talk about Cole Henry. Cole Henry is kind of unfortunate because he was a dude I was super excited about in 2021, and the injury bug has just basically devastated him.
Bad luck, and real bad luck.
Yeah, so he had thoracic outlet syndrome at a young age, which is a bummer injury, but when you're young, it's easier to come back from. And he looks healthy so far since his return. He pitched in the Futures game against the Mets and was dominant. I mean, he went mm-hmm. 3-up, 3-down with a fastball that was ripping. And I was pretty impressed by that. I know that's a one game sample. But if he can just be healthy and stay on the field, I feel like he'll probably make an appearance this year in the big leagues. And that would be huge, because like we've been saying, there is no depth pitching wise in this farm. So anything you can find is going to be useful. And the stuff is definitely there with him. It's just health, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Can he stay healthy? Certainly incredibly high upside, which is kind of the shots you want to take with pitching prospects, just high upside arms that can contribute at a high level if they still stay healthy and you develop them, obviously.
Hi, I'm Devin Whitmire. People from South Carolina, like myself, are proud of their state, but even we don't know every nook and cranny or every piece of culture or history. To explore places that are off the beaten path, you have to talk to the people there because their stories make everything come together. From Discover South Carolina, it's the Palmetto Porch, premiering September 18th. To learn more, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. We're going to get into the kind of predictions part of the show. Same format as last time. We're going to go Cy Young, MVP, breakout, regression, as opposed to manager of the year and rookie of the year. And then we'll get the prediction for the record for the team this year, and then end it with three bold predictions like we did before. So let's just start at the top this time. We're going to go team MVP. Trey, who's your MVP this year for the Nationals?
It's boring. It's obvious, but it's CJ Abrams. I'm anticipating that he will have a solid bat, you know, 120, 125 OPS plus, you know, 20 homers, 25 homers would be nice. But the real thing is going to be, I feel like he's going to have a defensive improvement, and the stolen base is obviously a huge threat with him. He could steal 80. He could do that. If they let him go, I think that they will, because they saw how successful it made them in the second half last year to have CJ up there and just causing chaos. Absolutely. It's not only does it help get your guy into scoring position, but now you got pitchers looking over their shoulder like, this guy's going to run, I got to pay attention to him. All of a sudden they're throwing cookies to the next batter. So, yeah. You know, it goes even further and deeper than that. And if he's the guy we think he is, when I think he is, he's going to be pretty easily take this team MVP. I mean, maybe if Gore, for example, has like a crazy season, he can take the MVP, and he's another high talent guy. But I'm looking at CJ as a position player, and I can't see anyone really usurping that from him this year.
Yep. Agreed. But just to switch it up a little bit, I'm going to go Keibert Ruiz. I think his second half last year was incredibly underrated. And if he can get the defense right, then we're talking about an absolute steal of a contract one of the better catchers in baseball. Because the offensive production is there, or it's getting there, if not already there. It's just the defense. It needs to be better. But if you're looking at the starting eight, right, take out the pitchers, the starting eight defensive players for opening day, right? So you have, we'll just throw Winker out there. Winker, Rosario, Thomas, Senzel, Abrams, Garcia, Gallo, and then Ruiz. It's conceivable that six of the eight are different next year, if, like, presuming they trade Lane Thomas, which I don't know if they will, but the only two mainstays would be Abrams and Ruiz, right? Every other position is at this point likely to turn over next year.
Yeah.
Like the guys starting this year probably won't be back next year, which kind of tells you where we're at in this rebuild. But yeah. So Ruiz is incredibly important. Obviously they decided to lock him up early. So we need a same kind of conversation I had about Mackenzie Gore. We need another step forward. And for him, like, we really like what we saw with the bat. It needs to be defense. I hate being a dead horse, but like, he was bad defensively. There's no real sugarcoating it.
Yeah.
Also, Riley Adams, seeing him hit, like, it doesn't surprise me, but he's 6'4". He's too big to be a catcher. Move him to first base. He's too big to be a catcher.
I don't know why it's taken them this long.
Just move him to first
base. He's not good. It's not like he's a good defender either. He's not.
Yeah. Move him to first base. But yeah, Keibert Ruiz, I think, I don't disagree with Abrams at all. Obviously, I have high expectations for Abrams, but Ruiz is a guy who could, like, at year's end, if the Nationals are solid and you look at the team, you're like, man, this could have gotten ugly if it weren't for Keibert Ruiz. I think we could, there's a world where we're saying that at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
So let's move on to Cy Young. Obviously, there's only so many to choose from. I'm going to stick and pick Mackenzie Gore. I talked about it. He has elite ace potential. I think he will emerge as one of the, like, Tarik Skubal comes to mind, right? One of those names everyone kind of is chattering about before the season starts. I think Mackenzie Gore has really, really high. I'm not alone in thinking this, but I think he's going to have a much more consistent season the same way Gray did. I still have high expectations for Gray, but I think Mackenzie Gore firmly plants himself as his team's number one.
I also agree. I got my Cy Young as Mackenzie Gore, and we've kind of already said what needs to be said. It's just finding that consistency because he's got the stuff.
Real and original there, Trey.
I know, man. It's just, it's boring. My picks are boring, but like, there's only so many guys.
There's only so many. All right, let's maybe we'll get a little bit deeper into the weeds here. Let's go breakout pick for this year. Trey, who do you have breaking out this year?
So my breakout pick is K-Bear Ruiz because while he has had some success with the bat, it hasn't fully come together yet for him. There's still a higher, way higher upside with his bat, I think. And I feel like he'll probably reach a little bit of that. I'm not sure about the defense. He could end up, you know, being moved to DH first base role if it continues as it's been, because it's been not good. But, you know, offensively, I like him a lot. And I feel like I feel like 20 plus homers this year is at least a good benchmark, because he had 18 last year and a lot of those came in the second half. He can get it going earlier. He should be a 20 plus 25 homer guy even. So I like Ruiz offensively to break out.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick. Again, there's only so many guys to choose from. But I am going to – what's the word? It's not too deep in the weeds. I'll preface this by saying I think they're going to be really patient with calling up. Presumably James Wood is going to be the first one to get called up. I think they're going to be really patient. But, like, let's say Rosario gets hurt. I don't think Wood's the first call. That's kind of my point. So if we're going breakout pick, I think there's a guy who's going to not necessarily break out into an all-star kind of player, but break out into a guy that's just kind of a mainstay on the roster. I'm going Jacob Young. Mm. And I know he's in the minors right now, but I think he would be that first call. And I think if he needs to beat out Victor Robles, I think he can do that. And I only think they kept Robles because they've just, it's the devil they know, and Young has options. So I really like Jacob Young in the kind of perceived role he would fill, that fourth outfielder speed guy. If he can just like get on base at a fine clip, he's going to be the perfect complement to the outfield when Cruz and Wood and whoever fills that third spot pop up. So I think he's going to be a guy where it's like, yeah, we're fine giving Cruz a day off because we have Jacob Young. So a little bit of a outside the box pick, but I really like Jacob Young. I think he could be a good contributor to this team.
Yeah, I think he's a perfect fourth outfielder on a winning squad, because he can play any position or any outfield position, and he definitely has the upside of being a great defender out there, as well as the speed to steal bases and be a pinch runner. And the bat was, you know, it had potential. There's at least something.
It was okay.
There's something.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't great.
He just needs to have an average bat with his defense. Right. That's pretty much
For sure. All right. Let's switch gears. We're going to go biggest regression. This one, if you've heard me kind of mention it, I've hinted at it. I think the biggest regression, and I will even go as far as to say by far, Joey Meneses.
Oh, wow.
I think Joey Meneses is going to fall off a cliff.
Okay.
Like production wise, to the point where
I'm kind of with you there a little bit,
I think the Nationals love these good stories, the guys that come out of nowhere. And obviously Meneses was instrumental in like the immediate post Soto era, but I think they're just kind of trying to fool themselves into thinking they have something. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I think Meneses' production really falls off a cliff. So we'll see.
And he could be wrong. You know, he doesn't really fit with this team age wise.
He's Yadiel Hernandez. I will stand on that.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, I can. Yeah, there's a path.
That's
to
a
that.
Lot of similarities.
Yeah. I'm dreading this. I don't want to do this.
Don't.
Because my regression pick is Josiah Gray, and I
You're
hate it.
You're so annoying, dude.
I hate it. I don't
want this.
You can
think
this.
It. You don't say it. You don't put it out there.
Look, I mean, listen, I'm just trying to be honest. Some of the, there's underlying things that are bad. I hope that it doesn't
happen.
Yeah, the
happen. Underlying thing is Jim Hickey. That's
well,
what.
Yeah, but he's still here.
That's
so
true.
That's
true. That didn't help me. That didn't help my argument.
Dude, honestly, if he left, that this would be different because I'd be like, thank goodness. I mean, yeah. Least, you know, I will say Sean Doolittle seems to be doing something. We'll see how that translates in the actual season, but there's, you know, reason to believe that he's maybe in his ear a little bit. I don't want this to happen. I want Josiah to be as good as he was last year, if not better. But the walks are a concern. The hard hit balls. Just having too much success with runners in scoring position. Like, I just can't see that sustaining too much. Although he's done it his whole career. I mean, that is kind of, last year he was just really, really good at it. And I can't see him being that good at it again. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he just completely owns it this year and crushes it, makes another all-star team and everything. So that hurt, but that's my regression pick.
All right. You're annoying, but I get it.
Yeah, I know. I feel gross.
All right, let's put our money where our mouth is. What's this team's record once they're done with 162 games this year?
Okay, I said the other day that they were going to win 70 games. I lied.
Yeah, how you feeling about that?
Once I started looking at the roster more, I'll give them 68. I'm going 68 and 94, but I couldn't give them 70. They didn't do enough this offseason. It's that simple. They just there's not any reinforcements. There's a lack of depth. The only really good unit, I would say, of this team is probably the bullpen. I don't think that any other unit on the field is top 20, basically, as a whole. You might have guys here and there that are like CJ and stuff. But, I'm not feeling great about where this team is. They're pretty much openly tanking again. And, that doesn't feel good after like four straight years of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
for
68,
sure.
94. That's where I'm going.
All right. I am going 62 and 100. In the
Damn, 100 losses.
100
okay.
loss. The 100th loss comes on the final game of the year. They're 62 and 99. And there's a bunch of talk. Will they, you know, finish with 100 losses? Won't they? And they lose on the final day of the season, 62 and 100.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that if they go down back to 100 losses, that would be a wake up call. But you never know.
No, it won't be, because they'll be like, oh, well, next year we're going to start the year with Cruz and Wood and presumably House, and it'll be completely different. So,
yeah, I just really, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, all right, let's get into the final segment of the episode and do our three bold predictions for the Nationals. Trey, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. Everybody is hating on Luis Garcia right now. So, which is why my bold prediction is that he's going to have 20 plus home runs and have a 3-WAR season. There's nothing to back that up. It's just a bold prediction because
I mean, you might as well get bold. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like we know he's got potential. It's the consistency factor obviously has not been there, but I mean, you know, you get 2 good months out of him and you all of a sudden he's, kind of up there. I'm just trying to convince myself that this can somehow happen.
Yeah,
honestly.
I can hear
but,
it.
so yeah, that's why it's bold predictions, because yeah, I don't think so. But that would just be really funny to me if all this talk before the season about how he needed to be cut and all this stuff, and they might be right. They might be right, but it would just be funny if he just completely turned it on and silenced the haters. I always like a good hater silencing.
I like it. I'm going to piggyback off last episode. If you had listened, which you should have, because it's the best episode every single year. You understood who my rookie of the year pick was, and I'm going to double down. I think James Wood wins rookie of the year. He's going to get called up at some point sooner rather than later. Again, I don't think he's the first call, but you know, let's say Winker goes down or Gallo goes down, like then they really need a left-handed power bat. And that would definitely open the door for James Wood. They had no problem starting him in left field over any of the other options. I'm sure he would see time at DH if they needed to. So James Wood, rookie of the year, I'm standing on that. I might be a year early, but I don't care. I think this dude is the real deal. And we kind of saw that in spring training. So James Wood, rookie of the year for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just dependent on the amount of at-bats that he gets. Because
I think if it's early June, it's just enough.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Just enough
at-bats. That puts him at least to where he could win it.
Yeah.
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 All right, so I'll go with my second one, which is Lane Thomas related. And it's about Mr. Lane Thomas being traded. Now, that's not necessarily that hot of a take on its own, because I feel like a lot of people have been talking about that for a couple seasons at this point. So I will pick the team he gets traded to. And ooh. I think it's going to be the Seattle Mariners.
I was going to say, I knew it was going to be the Mariners.
Because, you know, come halfway through the season, the Mariners are probably going to be sitting there with the best rotation in baseball and a good lineup, but not great lineup. They'll need a little bit of extra help in the power department. Lane Thomas is going to Seattle at the deadline.
I like it. I like it. So I had a really, really, really bold one for my third one, but it's also trade related. So I'm just going to do it now. And okay. I'll come up with another bold one on the spot for my third one. My bold prediction. There is going to be a guy who's traded, but it's not going to be Lane Thomas.
Okay.
It is, in fact, going to be Patrick Corbin.
Oh,
Patrick
okay.
Corbin pitches well enough in the first half to warrant a team just taking a chance. And yeah, the Nationals will probably have to eat some of that money, but I would be okay with that because it increases the prospect return. I think Patrick Corbin, if he's at a 4 ERA, there's going to be a team that takes a chance.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a good point.
So I expiring deal, World Series experience, you know, plenty. There's so many injured pitchers. Like, obviously you hear that all the time, but so many teams dealing with injured pitchers already. I think Patrick Corbin, if he can just pitch well enough, gets dealt at the deadline.
Can he give us a John Lester trade? Like, can he just be that?
That's
just,
all we're
just
looking for.
Good enough.
Right? Just good
to
enough
to get rid of him.
To give me a castaway, right? The same way Lane Thomas was in St. Louis. Like a castaway prospect, I'm fine with it. Patrick Corbin off my team.
I will take anything. I will take a bag of Doritos.
Yep.
And he
I like Doritos.
Pick it. Yeah. I like that one. Okay, so this is my last one. I don't...
Make it bold.
I don't know if this is bold or not, because bullpens are so volatile and we don't ever know what the bullpen situation is going to be around the league. But I really like the look of this bullpen right now. And if all goes well, they could finish in the top 10 as a top 10 bullpen this year in terms of run prevention, in terms of strikeouts, in terms of walk rate. I like where this bullpen is. I feel like, you know, more than likely they'll probably finish around average, which for this team is good because we don't have much of that. But
right.
If they take it a step further, I like this prediction to maybe finish in the top 10 as basically the one and only sole good unit on this team.
Right. I like it. I like it. I think
not super
I
hot.
I don't, but I was going to say, I don't think it's too bold,
yeah,
but I have no problem with that. All right. This one's going to dig a little bit deeper. It's not Super Bowl just because it's not like a name brand or a household name or anything like that. But one of the best stories about last year's Nats was kind of the consistency or the emergence of Jake Irvin, right? He kind of came out of nowhere, pitched every fifth day, was super solid for a staff that was not all that great or certainly not all that consistent. And hopefully he takes another step forward this year. But we're going to need another one of those because Trevor Williams stinks. Patrick Corbin stinks. And then who knows what happens with the other three. So I'm going to give you a name. That's this year's Jake Irvin. Mitchell Parker will find himself in the rotation and pitch. He won't be great, but he's going to be that Jake Irvin where it's like he pitches every fifth day. You're like, huh, this is not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you'll be like, there's something.
Right. That's Mitchell Parker this year.
Okay.
Every fifth day, take the ball, get outs, and don't completely shit the bed doing it.
Yeah, I love that. I like Mitchell Parker as one of the few pitchers in this system that's, you know, at least somewhat intriguing. I wouldn't say he's not a guaranteed hit or anything, but there's something there.
Yeah, that's all we're gonna do.
I like something. I like that. Yeah. Because every team needs that Jake Irvin guy to come up and just be average and just eat
just
some innings
average,
and just hang out and just.
That's the national slogan this year. Just be average.
Don't be. Yeah, for real. Honestly, I will take average from all across the board. I will take it.
So, hear that, ladies? Average is fine.
Yes, this is exactly what we've been saying. Yeah, no, but I like that. Irvin, I like Irvin to take hopefully another step forward if he can.
Me too.
Pitch
he
with
looked
confidence.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
It seemed like it was more of a confidence. It's just like, go get him. Like, your fastball is good, man. You can
throw
that thing.
He was also just kind of – I haven't done too much of a deep dive into, like, what specifically people were working on in the offseason. Like, I know last year, like, the cutter with Josiah Gray, for example, was, like, the big thing. So I don't know if Jake Irvin had
one
of those.
He did have a cutter.
This year.
Pretty
yeah,
nice.
That's what I was going to say. It's like he was kind of a two-pitch pitcher last year, but I actually like his changeup. I don't know why he's not using it more. And it's also ironic that Jim Hickey is like, yeah, one of my foundations is a changeup, and like only one person on the staff throws a changeup. So
yeah, and we'll have to see how that
– I call bullshit. But.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that works in the regular – because I think maybe they up the cutter usage just because of the new pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the regular season that's – the changeup gets a little bit of that percentage, but I also agree. Pretty nice changeup.
Yeah. So like Jake Irvin, he's kind of just doing that with two pitches. So if he adds a third one, that certainly makes it a little bit more conceivable that he takes another step forward. So I'm high on Jake Irvin. He easily could have been like a breakout pick. He almost was my breakout pick. So
yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Cool. So that does it for this episode of District Baseball / District
Nationals.
We
finished the offseason.
Yeah, the offseason is over. Opening day is upon us. I cannot wait. Again, next week, we're going to be having two episodes every single week. They'll be shorter than they used to be, but it'll be covering all of baseball in one episode and then all things Nationals in the second episode of the week. Thinking early in the week for the release dates, those might change from week to week, but certainly consistent. Two episodes a week moving forward. Trey, appreciate all your hard work during the off season and obviously what's about to come with all of the editing during the season.
I'm excited.
Be sure to check out YouTube and follow all of Trey's great work. You can find the link in the description or just search District Baseball on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok as well at District Baseball, on Twitter, District BSB. You can follow Trey at Reverse 2Rs, 2Ss, and myself at The Coach Moose. We sincerely appreciate you listening. And in the meantime, just be average.
Just be average.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.